Hi there, Caitlin here. Our mission at EB Academics is simple. Help middle school ELA teachers take back their time outside of the classroom by providing them with engaging lessons, planning frameworks, and genuine support so that you can become the best version of yourself, both inside and outside of the classroom. So if you think you might be ready to try something new because you know you simply cannot continue the way that you have been, that I'd invite you to take a moment to check out the EB Teachers Club, the EB Writing Program, or the EB Grammar Program by visiting the links in the description of the podcast. We hope to continue to support you within one of our programs in the future. And in the meantime, we look forward to serving you right here on the podcast each week. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Teaching Middle School ELA podcast. It is April and we are focused on engaging our students in these last couple of months of the year on these podcast episodes this month. Episode 218, we suggest that you go back and take a listen to. We talked all about a visual essay. How are we getting students to write more creatively with their analytical writing, right? How can we add a creative component to that? And it can be utilized any time of year. Such a fantastic episode. Definitely suggest that you go check it out. But today we are focused on a fun research project. And this is actually, I would say, we hear about this all the time in our EB Teacher Facebook group about
especially
them utilizing it
this time of year.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me.
So I love seeing their projects. If you are an EB teacher and you haven't utilized this project yet, definitely go check it out. It's part of your EB resource marketplace. But we want to share it with you guys on the podcast too, so you can kind of take this concept and implement it into your classroom. So it's that time of year, right? You're in the home stretch. Like, we are so close to the end of the school year. And while it can be really, really tempting to just start to daydream and go there of what we're going to do in the summer, you know, I just remember thinking about going to the beach, because we used to live in Manhattan Beach, going to play beach volleyball, like sitting in the sun. Summer in Manhattan Beach is just so magic,
fun.
Right?
It is.
So fun.
It.
So while we, yes, have that in the back of our minds, we also gonna, you know, stay in the game until the very end, right? We want to have that final push needed for our students, keep them engaged, keep them working at a high level of rigor as we head into this end of the school year. You know, if we're going to be here, we're going to be at school, like, let's go whole hog. Let's do the best that we can. You know what I mean? And let's face it, like, middle schoolers also would rather be having lazy mornings, sitting in the sun instead of sitting in your classroom. Like, that's just the truth. I mean, maybe not for everybody, but for the majority of our middle school students, like, they're stoked for summer. And on top of that, like, at the end of the school year, you start to feel that burnout. You got, May is just wild with all of the activities, which is so crazy to me because it was not like that when I taught high school. May in high school, there's nothing going on.
It's, seriously?
Yes. It was always just prepping for your finals. That was
it. Oh my gosh. Not the case in middle school.
No,
it was like assemblies every other day and field day. And God knows what.
I remember when I came down, when we taught at the same school, that was the first year I taught 7th and 8th grade. I looked at the calendar. I'm like, what is May? I'm like, this is ridiculous.
When do I teach? Spring musical and this, I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Oh my gosh. But for our seniors, right? Those of us who are teaching high school, like, it's in full swing for our high school kids who are graduating, our 8th graders who are going off to high school, all the stuff we got going on, feelings, emotions, motivation, everything. And it's possible, like, your teaching strategies, materials that you've been using throughout the year, like, it's like, okay, like, let's just get through the motions. And you perhaps are even starting to get bored, feeling like it's stale. That makes it harder for you to stay engaged, makes it harder for your students to stay engaged. So we get the picture, right? So with all of that in mind, these 4 episodes this month are really focused on helping solve that problem for you so that we can supply you with fun, very engaging lessons. They're going to hook your students, but also still stay standards aligned, stay rigorous for them, taking them to the next level, and still really making use of these last couple of months of school. So check out last week's episode. We have 2 more coming this month in addition to this one. And again, these can be used any time of the school year. So I want to dive into today's activity. Jessica, I'm going to hand it over to you. We're talking about a research project called The Year I Was Born.
Perfect. And I think sometimes it's helpful to know, like, where did this idea come from? Just gives you some background information. So this is a cool one. One of my best friends from college, her name is Carrie. She was a teacher as well. Now she homeschools her girls, but I lived with her after college, like super close to me. And then when my oldest son, Jameson, was born, she came over with just like this really sweet gift for him. And it was this cardboard box, and it was filled with all the newspapers and all the magazines from the day he was born, which was June 26th. And it was 2013. And I remember us laughing. She was like, "Jessica, I'm so sorry. Literally every magazine she gave me had Kim Kardashian on the cover," because she had her first child, North, I think, like at that exact same time. So Jameson's headlines are hilarious. It's all like tabloid fever in LA. But it was a really thoughtful gift, and my husband and I just loved it. And so when we had our other two children, we did the same thing for them and made these keepsake boxes for them. And we thought, okay, this will be really cool for them one day, years from now, to look back on it and see what was happening in the world on the day they were born. So having that kind of always in the back of my head, I thought, okay, this would be a really cool research project for students to figure out what was happening in whatever year they were born. And what makes it so engaging for students as they research this is that they're exploring history, yes, but they're connecting it to their own lives. And I think if you use this project in your class, you're going to find out that a lot of your students don't know much about the events that happened in the year they were born. Like, even I look back, I can't tell you anything that happened the year I was born. Can you? Like,
I thought you were going to give us your age. I thought you were going to tell us the year you were born.
No way. But like, I can't even think of anything.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
So I just think it's a really cool project for students to learn more about themselves, learn more about the world. And then they're creating a keepsake. Like, I hope you would encourage your students to hold on to these when they're older. So we're going to walk you through that project. And I just want you to keep in mind that this whole project would take about 3 weeks in your class. That's like assuming you have 60-minute class periods, but of course you can tweak it, right? You can take things out, you can add things, and just make it work for your students' needs, for your classroom needs, especially at the end of the year.
Yeah. And if you're an EB Teachers Club member, you can find this research project in your dashboard, in your EB dashboard, just as a heads up so that you can just print it out and utilize it. But if you're not, we're going to walk you through how we structure each of these 3 weeks. Okay. So week number one is the brainstorming and research phase. Okay. So think of it like as you're marking your plans, like this is that phase of the research project. So you're going to supply students with a very simple graphic organizer that's going to help them focus their research. So that we're not just like letting them loose. We want to give them boundaries for how to do this research. So you'll list the following topics on this graphic organizer page: economy, disease, natural disasters, politics, pop culture, science and technology, and then a box for other. And you'll give students about 2 class periods to go research these topics for the particular year that they were born. So this is going to be super interesting. Like, as your students go through your class each year, it's going to be a totally different thing that you get to read. So students should take notes in like bullet point form and write down any events that really stand out to them. Their ultimate goal is to find multiple events for each topic and then determine if there's a common thread that connects those topics together. Then when they're finished, they should pick the most interesting topic to them. So what is the thing that stands out the most to them in terms of the topic from all the research that they did? And using the information that they found for that particular topic, students will have the basic outline to the essential question for this project, which is the following. So this is the essential question for this project: what was especially significant about the year I was born? So that's the question that they're answering.
So I want to give you an example, and I'm going to walk you through the year 2003, even though I know your students were not born in 2003, but you'll still get the idea. So a student born in that year, when they're doing their research, they might discover that there was a SARS outbreak that year. There was an avian influenza outbreak. There was a prolonged and severe flu season. Kind of dark, right? But they're reading this and they're like, okay, there were a lot of major illnesses to battle in 2003. That's a common thread. So then the claim for their essay might be something like, well, 2003 was an exciting and productive time, it was also a challenging year for illness. And then their whole essay would be focused on the SARS outbreak, the avian influenza outbreak, and the prolonged flu season. So you can see how it kind of gets structured then into essay form. And what's cool is because like Caitlin said, every year it's going to change what students are researching. But in your particular year, like if you did it this year, you're really only going to be focused on, you know, 1 or 2 years, depending on when students were born. So another student might also be researching 2003 again, and they come up with an entirely different topic. So they might be more into like pop culture and they're like, oh, that was the final episode of Dawson's Creek. That's when that aired. Or that's when the final movie of the Lord of the Rings trilogy was released. So they might say, okay, well, this was a significant year for endings in film or television. So very different from like outbreaks, right? Yes. So that's what I love so much about this project is it really caters to students' interest, which in turn is going to keep them engaged. They're going to be motivated to write because they're researching that something about something that's interesting to them. And I want to just give you this student hack. As I was coming up with the notes for this podcast, I tried it out and I thought, oh my God, this is so cool. It would save so much time in the classroom. So take note of this. This is where you want to embrace ChatGPT if you're not already using it. So it's that AI writing tool, right? And what you can have students do is they can type in, what are several scientific events from 2011? Or what are some significant natural disasters from 2011? So they're really creating specific questions. And what ChatGPT will do is come up with all those natural disasters or all those scientific events. And it's going to help students streamline the research process where, like Caitlin said, when they're filling in that graphic organizer and they're just putting bullet points down of events, oh my gosh, this is a time saver. They're putting those down. And then later on, once they pick the ones they want to research, that's where they're going to read more about it. So it's so efficient.
I mean, that's brilliant because instead of like 2 class periods to gather mm-hmm. this data, we could, 10 minutes.
Yeah. But you like, really literally. Could. And then the rest of those 2 class periods, okay, now pick the one you want to focus on and really research.
Yep. And so if you don't have 3 weeks, using that strategy is going to cut down a ton. I mean, that's huge. I just ChatGPT. I love it. I love it. All right. So that's week one. Okay. Week number two is moving into like the actual what they're going to do. Okay. So now that students have their topic, they have their claim, and they have a basic idea of what their 3 body paragraphs will be about, or however many body paragraphs you want your students to write, right? Essentially, they have their reasons for their claim. They're going to start to search for evidence. Okay. So students are going to search for about 10 pieces of evidence that they could potentially use to support their premises and their claims. When they are researching, you want to have them make sure that they keep track of their sources, right? If you've ever taught a research paper unit, you know that this is a thing. So it's up to you if you want to require direct quotes or if students are allowed to paraphrase or are they allowed to do a mix of both. I think it's going to depend on your level of student, what grade level you teach, all that stuff. But then at the end of all of that research, they find their 10 pieces of evidence. They're going to go back through and select their strongest 3 pieces of evidence to then use in their body paragraphs, or 2 or 4, again, however many body paragraphs you're requiring your students to write. So if your students have been using our EBW approach, our EB writing framework during the year, then they know like this is where they're simply filling in missing parts of the framework. So for their intro paragraph, right, they have their claim. They just need a hook and a summary. For their body paragraphs, they have their premises, they have their evidence now. Now they just need to write justification for why that evidence supports the premise, why that all supports the claim. And then finally, for that conclusion paragraph, your students should know that here's where I restate the claim, here's where I summarize the evidence, and this is also where I have that mic drop sentence about a lesson learned. So week 2 is really spent researching relevant evidence and typing or writing that first draft of their research project essay for the year I was born.
Which leads you to week 3. And this week is spent peer editing, conferencing with you, and then students are writing their final drafts. So this is where you'd really want to provide a rubric for your students, especially before they submit their final essay, so that they can successfully meet the expectations, just like you would do on any major writing assignment. And then the really cool part about week 3 is it's great for students to read each other's papers because most likely they did write about different topics. So it's cool for them to see, did someone else pick the same topic as me? Or if they didn't, great. Now they get to learn about other significant events from the year they were born. Because like I said, you're really most likely only dealing with 2 years, you know, depending on when students were born. So I think this is a really cool opportunity for you to consider, could you compile all their essays into a booklet, whether physically or digitally, and then give it to students so they have this like anthology of different essays, and it's something they can keep, not just their essay, but all these essays about the year they were born. And it makes me think of those, like, I don't know, you find these sometimes at gas stations or random stores where you go in and they have like the birthday cards or the little booklets from the year you were born. Have you ever seen those?
I've never seen that, no.
It's almost like the keychains with your name on it. It's something okay. like that. But it would be a booklet and it's really cool. And whenever I see my year there, I do take it and just flip through it. I've never bought the thing, but it's cool. And so like, this is like essentially what you're giving students. And I just think it's such a cool little like memento for them to have. So I hope that as you listen to this today, you're considering like, this might be a fun way to switch up the research project I currently do in my classroom, because it really covers so many standards that fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth graders get to study. And here you are giving them this really fun, engaging project, and it's something they're going to want to hold on to. I don't know about many students keeping their essays years later, but I feel like this is one of those that would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And so much more fun than, gosh, some of the essay topics that my students had to write about for their research projects.
Right? Like how many times can they write about dress code and uniforms? Like, I'm just sick of it. And all,
tell us how you really feel,
right?
So if you guys do utilize this, let us know. You know, if you're an EB teacher, let us know in the EB community. If you're not, let us know on Instagram at EB Academics, tag us, you know, feel free to share. We'd love to see you utilizing this in your classroom. So next week on the podcast, we will be talking about Genius Hours. So make sure that you join us there. And we have two more episodes coming to you this month, all about engagement. Make sure that you listen to all of them to really kind of, you know, support you and motivate you as we head into these last couple of months of the school year. All right. We will see you next week on the podcast. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.